evening. Walked up to do the rehearsal. It was to sing your best. 379, please. 379. I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. Of my Redeemer, Savior King, since I have been redeemed. 379, please. Being here. Let's ask God's blessing, shall we? O God, our Heavenly Father, in the all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus, we again approach thy holy throne. And we realize, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, our meeting would be in vain. But we praise thee that he died on a cross. We praise thee that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We praise thee he's able to save to the very uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We do thank thee and praise thee tonight that the door is open, that sinners may come right in and know the joy of sins forgiven. We thank thee for such a good company that have gathered here tonight. Some here by choice and some here by circumstances, but we trust each here for a blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. We pray as we sing these hymns, as we read thy word, as we go on to tell the story of the cross, that the Spirit of God himself will bring home to every heart the definite necessity of taking heed to the word. Remember tonight those of our number who are not with us, some detained through sickness. As we think about them, Lord, thou knowest all about them. Thou knowest our prayers on their behalf, but thou knowest what's best and what's thy will for them. We pray for those who have gone from us, Lord, and duty, legal and legitimate, and we pray that thou wilt bless them, guide their feet tonight where they ought to be, and encourage them to come to the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. Remember once again, our Father, the troubled state of the world. Too numerous to mention in thy presence at the moment. Thou knowest, Lord, thou hast foretold within thy word to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for thine ancient people tonight, that thou wilt still continue thy hand upon them and bring them to know the presence of God in their midst, especially those who own a New Testament now. May they read it and reread it till they come to know the Saviour. Give us a good and a happy time together here tonight, and we'll give thee all the praise and the glory for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Now we'll sing a more familiar hymn perhaps this time, and we'll sing 364. 364. When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer. When I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. 364, please.
I'm
chapter 11. Matthew at the 11th chapter. And we'll read from verse 20. Matthew at the 11th chapter. We'll read from verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have repented, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his own precious word. Now let me say to those that perhaps come in after I said it the first time, we're very, very happy to see you here tonight. And I think you've got quite a good company here tonight, and I'm really delighted to be here with you. And I do trust, as we have prayed earnestly, that the Lord will bless you for coming. Now, after this meeting, we're going to Silverwich for another meeting. We'll round some of the houses yesterday, and of course, we don't take all the promises as valid that are going to be there, but we do our best to try and persuade them to come. So if you can't come with us, do pray for us. For after all, it's prayer that changes things, and prepares both the message and the preacher too, to give the message that brings salvation through windows that show Christ and Him crucified. Then, tomorrow night starting, right through till Friday, some boys and girls meetings. The hall will be open, God willing, at 6 o'clock each night. We'll be glad to see boys and girls, and as I've said already, I've never heard one disappointed adult that ever come to a boys and girls meeting. They knew what they were coming to, and they didn't expect the ministry address, but they did enjoy the boys and girls meeting. So we'll be glad to see you if you like to come, but if you don't find time to come, or business hinders you, or you're miles away, do pray for us. Do pray for us. Then we're going to have a nice week this week. On Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock, we've got the opening up of the women's Bible study just across the road in the doctor's house. And of course, we're going to have a half an hour all by themselves. They're going to discuss the women's work and what they're going to do the rest of the season. Then I'm going to step in at 8:30, God willing, and I'm going to have a talk with the ladies, the sisters, the woman of the Greenwich River comes. But we'll be happy to see you there, and we trust that you'll come and enjoy it. Then on Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to have the prayer meeting. There's going to be a little change seeing I'm here. Not that I make much difference as far as the prayer meeting is concerned, but we want you to come and pray with us. Half roads through our bare house, and I'll try and give a word of ministry to encourage us on our way, both the Christian living and the joy of salvation. Then God willing, on Friday at 7:13, we'll have our ministry meeting. We trust you'll be at that if you can possibly come. We had a very good turnout as well last Friday night, and we're very, very happy about it. Now there'll not be the prayer meeting as usual at 7:30 in the hall on Saturday, because there's a conference on at Scallery, and we trust that the brethren and sisters will find time and place and desire to get to that conference. I don't know who the speakers are or anything about it, but I know it starts at 3 o'clock, and if God helps me, I'll be there at 3 to be one of the people on the seats while we're there. So do try and pray for that and come for it. Then we'll be back, God willing, next Lord's Day at 11:15 in the Sunday school, and 3:15 for the ministry meeting, and 6:15 for the gospel. So if you've got any amount to pray about, and any amount to think about, and any number of meetings this 7 days before us, so we'll have spiritual feast, I trust, by that time. Now let us take just 2 verses of 420. Perhaps some of you didn't even know the second hymn so well, but I think you'll all know this one. 420. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking. Evangelist was having. He said to me, "Davy, will you take the gossip?" I said, yes, I'll take the Gorgias. So I gave one or two texts out, the children answered, and he was standing just by my side. And I shouted out, Matthew 28 and 30. He says, Davy 30, Davy 30. I said, yes, why? Not jumped a child and read it. I said, I never thought there were 30 verses in that chapter. Familiarity. He could repeat it all right. But he thought the 28th verse run right through to the 30th, but you see it doesn't. And this 20th verse starts off with a very strong warning. And it makes very clear reading that those that have the greatest blessings are those that carry the greatest responsibilities. These cities that are mentioned here are cities that had seen his greatest miracles, had heard the Saviour preach his greatest sermon, but had repented. They had trusted him, and when he comes to this place in Matthew chapter 11, he points out the fact that they have been warned that to hear the message of salvation, to see the mighty workings of God, is the gravest, greatest responsibility ever a person had. Let me say very clearly that oftener you hear the gospel, the clearer you see testimonies being borne out in others, the graver responsibility you're carrying if you still continue in your sin. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! That was a city that knew much of the Saviour and his life and his preaching, but they repented not. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! Repented not. Capernaum, exalted to heaven, almost cast down to hell. Warning? Why, it can't be more clear. It can't be more simple. He says, look, here's Sodom, here's the cities of the plain, here's your Old Testament cities. If it only had your opportunity, repented as they did in Nineveh, in sackcloth and ashes, but you, with a Bible in your hand, with an evidence of conversion before you, you'll be cast down to hell with all your privileges. It's a tremendous responsibility to hear the gospel. And I have said this perhaps even on this platform, although I haven't been so oft on it. And I mean it with all my heart. That if I have to go to hell, let me go to hell from heathen China, where they've never seen a Bible and never heard the name of the Saviour. Because every time you've seen a Bible and every time you've heard the name of the Saviour will torment you in hell for all eternity if you refuse to take the warning. Rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Son, remember, he knew full well he had lived in a day when the gospel was being preached, when Christ was walking the streets, when the apostles were going about doing miracles in his power, and he rejected, carried on in his religious life, lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Do you think that's what the Saviour come for? For I don't. But he prefaces this wonderful text by these verses to prepare your heart, to clear your mind, to make you understand the false teaching and the false attitude of delay. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. When I looked over this text a second time, I saw that there was four things in it. As I stood to speak one night and had to change my mind, I took up this text and these four things jumped out. What were they? First of all, was a company stated. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. There's the compassion of the Saviour. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. How are you going to come? A constraining sight. Come unto me. Saviour with nail-pierced hands and thorn-crowned brow. Where do I come in? You come in at the end. For the choice is set. Come unto me. What was the first you said? Well, it was a company stated. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Here are two distinctly different sinners. Oh, I thought the Bible said that all have sinned. Yes, the Bible said so. But it didn't say all have committed the same sins. And in the Gospel by John, we've got two companies placed side by side. Perhaps they're here tonight. In John chapter 3, we've got a man called Nicodemus. Nobody could teach Nicodemus about the Bible, you know. For he was a teacher himself. No one would tell Nicodemus to go to the temple. He was a ruler of the Jews. No one would tell Nicodemus anything about his religion, for he was a master in Israel. Very hard man to reach. A very strong personality. A man that knew what he believed and believed what he knew. Didn't know he needed to be born again. What did the Saviour do? Well, he took him up on the first word, labour. Why, he said, Nicodemus, you've got a law, and you're labouring all day and all night to keep that law. And you're reading the scriptures and finding every comma and every full stop to see how many different laws you've got to keep throughout the day and throughout the night. Striving. Doing your utmost. But he says you haven't come to the first principle. You're a sinner whether you do that or not. You must be born again. You must come to face the fact that you're doing. He said, that's not the way to get to heaven. He says, you're a man of Israel. You're a man of the Bible. You're a man that knows all about it. What happened down yonder in the wilderness? The serpent bit the Israelites. What was the cause of it? In Jewish fashion, they sinned, Master. The sooner you learn that you're a sinner, the better for yourself, Nicodemus. For I can't do a thing with you until you come to the fact that you're a sinner. Oh, don't look at the woman in the street. Don't look at the gambler. Don't look at the drunkard. Look at your own heart. Nicodemus, what does the scripture say? Speaking about the law that you're laboring under, if you offend at one point, you're guilty of all. Not going to tell me, sir or madam, that's sitting in this meeting tonight, that you would have the audacity to step into the presence of God and say, look at me, I've never sinned. Maybe go to church, maybe go to gospel hall, you must read the Bible, you may say your prayers. All very good. No merit for him. You may be on that point. The Gospel of John swings to the other. Chapter 8. The Savior's in a secluded place. In marked a company of men dragging a woman with them. Master! Here's a woman. Well, she's easy to accuse, you know. Oh, this woman should be stoned to death. She's a sinner of the deepest dye. Savior made on and never been listened to them. Master, what have you got to say? Down and rose to the ground. Do you think he wasn't interested? When he's up to look round about, him that is without sin cast the first stone. Stooped down and wrote on the ground. When he rose up, he looked round and he said to the woman, where are all your accusers now? I know you're not as bad as your neighbours. I know you don't do the vile sins of the fellow along the street. I know you've never been in court. Not like that person. What does the scripture say? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say that we have not sinned, and we make God a liar. Do you like it? Not me, not the Bible says. So you're in the company, you know. You're either one that's wavering, trying to get to heaven. One that's carrying a tremendous burden of sin because of who you are and what you're doing. Paul brings it all together. He brings it all into the one fold. Wherefore, as by one man sin enters into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I spoke at a gospel meeting not too long ago. The fellow waited behind, come into the room and sat down, and I took my Bible and I started to show him a few texts. He assented. I said, you understand, sir, what God is doing? And he says, what do you mean, sir? Well, I said, God is not talking to you as a gambler. He's not talking to you as a drunkard. He's not talking to you as a blasphemer. God is talking to you as a sinner. Yes, he said, that's right. I said, well, make it clear in your heart and mind that you understand that. One of this country that's stated here, so are you and so was I. The second thing, more the compassion of the Saviour. When he saw a man that was labouring hard to get to heaven, his heart went right out. Oh, if he only knew the right way. When he saw a poor woman that was dragged to him because of her misdeeds, his heart was melted within him, the compassion of the Saviour. Nicodemus, I want to say something to you. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Is Nicodemus, that's why I come, because you're a sinner and I want my love to be revealed in my death at the cross. I'm not come to tell you I love you, I love you, I love you. I've come to show it to the extremity. And on that cross, here it is, love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to that cross for us. The compassion of the Saviour is going out to you tonight. What did the hymn writer say? In loving kindness Jesus came. My soul in mercy truly clean. His compassion went out to the woman. What did he write on the ground? I don't know. When he arose and all the accusers had gone and she was left there alone, he faced her up. Woman, where are thy accusers? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Loving compassion of the Saviour went out towards her. I'm quite convinced in my own heart that she went a changed woman, and it was the compassion of Christ that changed her. She met a man that was holy, righteous, just, but loving, tender and kind, and he dealt with her in love and compassion. That's who I want to introduce you to tonight. Not to the God of thunder and lightning to cast you down to hell. The God that loves you and the Saviour that had compassion on you. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where will you get rest? The constraining sight. We'll get it at the cross. At the cross. When I was a younger man, some of the brethren and sisters saw some potential in me. They must have done. Well, they got a hold of me. They said, I want you to give lectures on Pilgrim's Progress. And I said, no, I don't do that. I'll give you the book and you'll read it. Very sorry, I don't read much. Ah, but you'll be able to read this and you'll be able to give the children the story. Am I ever so glad? I saw a man that come from the city of destruction under the laboring! Come to a little rising of the ground with that great thing on his back. And he's eternally gaze upon a cross. What did he say? Thus far did I come burdened with my sin. Nor could aught ease me of the grief that I was in till I came hither. Oh, what a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden roll from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to be cracked? Bless God! The sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. And his burden rolled away, and he gave 3 weeks for joy. Tell you, this constraining sight has brought many people. One of our chief hymn writers, a very evil man, an evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw him hanging on a tree, in agonies and blood. He fixed his loving eye on me as near the cross I stood. Oh, Lamb, the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb of Calvary. That's where you'll find rest tonight. I hear what that is a prophecy until it comes to the 53rd chapter. And then you looked away in the distance. For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I tell you, Christ was made sin on that cross for you, and he shed that blood on that cross for your sins. The word of God makes it clear and makes it so distinct. As he hung on that cross, he cries out from the depths of his being, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." The hymn writer said, "It was for me, yes, all for me. Oh, Lamb of God, so rich, so free, you can die and go to hell tonight, but you'll never die a mortal. That sight of constraining sights. What men have been constrained? I will tell the some of them. There's a thief. What's his testimony to his fellow on the other side? We die in a due reward of our deeds. We're murderers, we're robbers, we're thieves, we've a right to be here. This man has done nothing on it. And he comes to the Savior, he says, "Lord, remember me." What a constraining sight I wish I could preach. I would preach like an angel that Christ died for our sins. Tell me what the Bible says. Once as Pilate said to a man, "Get your soldiers, take these 3 men out and crucify them." Poor Roman never read a Bible in his life. Poor Roman possibly never heard the gospel in his life. Takes his soldiers out, takes the 3 men with the soldiers, and he begins to watch and to look and to listen. Christ was on that cross, he was watching everything, listening to everything. He heard the Lord Jesus pray as he put the nails in his hands, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As a soldier, he must stand by for his duty demanded. Heard as he was in that great darkness that could be felt, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As he comes out of the darkness and he listens, he hears the other cries. And he hears the last, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Centurion saw him die, and he dropped to his knees and he said, "Truly, truly, the Son of God." Wasn't his preaching, wasn't his miracles, the death of Calvary cross, the death that he died, the blood that he shed, Spurgeon, that famous preacher, when he stood up to preach, he preached the cross of Christ. As he preached the cross of Christ, "Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be should I die." Friend, tonight, don't look at the preacher, but look to the Saviour who died on the tree. But of course, I've got to make this very clear, that the choice said, what does it say? "Come unto me. Come unto me." Perhaps you don't know, we've a date of a family. We taught them all to walk. How did we do it? Come. Come. It's natural for that child to come. But this isn't. This is a decision of your own free will and choice. No one will make you do it. No one can help you do it. No one can force you to do it. Thank God, no one can hinder you from doing it if you wish. I'm not asking you to do an easy thing. Never come to where David Hobbs preaches if you want an easy way of salvation, for it's not in the Bible. One day the Lord Jesus had a great crowd of people following him. The group right can open up. Here's a young man flying down the road and falling down before the Saviour. "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why, he's earnest. Yes, of course he is. Look at him. The gorgeous robes, as a ruler, as a rich ruler. And he's down in the muck of the street. He's desperately in earnest. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Lord," "I say, you're a ruler." "He says, what about the commandments?" "He says, I've kept that six. I've kept these commandments from my youth up." Oh, Jesus said, "Well, one thing thou lackest. Christ as his own personal saviour. Instead, he turned his back and walked away sorrowfully. But he said, the saviour looking on him loved him. He was earnest. He was anxious. He was desperate. He cast aside all tradition. He cast aside all that men folk would say about him. He was in a passionate rage to get there and get this matter settled. The condition was laid clear and simple. The only person that ever left Jesus Christ sorrowful was the rich young ruler. And if he died as he lived, he's in hell tonight with all his desires and ambitions. There was another man. This man was the highest intellect that was in Israel. There was another man I see, the greatest Bible scholar in Israel. No time for Christianity. He had less time for Christians, for he persecuted them and hounded them to prison and to death. And he marched down the road to a place called Damascus, leading a company of men that were going to do all this evil work. All of a sudden he saw a sight. And he heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He looked up and he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. I have the marks of the cross in my heart. I have the scar mark of the thorns in my brow. There's the mark of the spear in my side. He prostrated himself in the dust. Choice is set. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He trusted Jesus Christ as his personal saviour. The 13 epistles in that Bible are written by him. Hundreds of miles he travelled. Many churches he established. Thousands of people brought him out of darkness into light. Rich young ruler caused weeping in the heart of the Saviour by rejection. Saul's heart was set him rejoicing. Thousands of hearts rejoicing in earth and his afterlife. And the choice is set. Oh, unto thee, courageous, for the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, have been done in you. They would have repented. Had your chance tonight, sackcloth and ashes would have covered them. They would have cried from the depth of the heart for Christ to come and cleanse them from their sin. To ask you tonight, what is your choice? You come in. I don't know which way, but I know which way you'll go out. You'll either go out with the joy of the knowledge of sins forgiven by trusting Christ as your Saviour, or a rejection of Jesus Christ and pursue your way to hell. Please come unto me. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Whether you're a wavering sinner, with all your religion and all your religiosity, whether you're a vile sinner with all your burden
No, we're not going to try any fun. We're not going to try any pleasure either, that's more. But if you're a man, if you've got courage, you trust Jesus Christ right now. You say, "Sir, I don't know what to do and I want to do it." Well, tell Jesus Christ that you're a sinner and you want him to come into your heart and cleanse you and come and abide in your heart and change your life. The Word of God said he'll do it. Come with him. It's going to be difficult. Maybe difficult to go home and tell or go to your pals tomorrow or after this meeting and tell them, but if you're woman enough to accept him, he's got power enough to keep you, power enough and strength and love enough to support and sustain you. Tell him to come in. Tell him that you are a sinner. Want him to come in and take this life of yours and change it. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we cannot do work that someone else has commenced to do, and that's the Spirit himself. But we can still pray and cry, Lord, that thou wilt finish the work that thou hast commenced. That someone here tonight will come right out and out for Jesus Christ. Will make the decided choice to receive him and know the joy of sins forgiven. Help us to sing our closing hymn together. Help us to sing it thoughtfully. And help us to sing it with deep experience of coming to him. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 196, please. A heavenly soul, by sin of flesh, have mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting. First, the second, and the last verse, and then our meeting is over. Let me say this before we finish. We're in no hurry to leave. We stand not. Oh, tell me I've got to preach at Goulburn. It's Goulburn week. I'm not interested. If you're ready for a talk with me then, I'm ready for a talk with you if you want to trust the Saviour. Somebody else can speak at Goulburn. If you're in real earnest, as we are tonight, there's nothing that will take you outside this hall if you've trusted Jesus Christ and we're your servants for his sake. And nobody will buttonhole you at the door. I'll certainly shake hands with you. If you'd like to ask, then ask. And I'll do my utmost to help. First, second, and last verse, please. Keep on singing.